Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
I believe that today is going to be an incredible day. We have a gift today. I got a gift to give you today. When I was 15 years old, I got in a church van across town in Orlando, and we drove in a church van, four church vans, to Philadelphia, to Gettysburg College. And I was 15 years old. I met the speaker that's going to speak to us today. I was 15 years old. I surrendered to ministry when I was 15 years old today under Pastor Ed and Kim's ministry and camp there. And I can say a lot of things, but I want to give Pastor Ed and Kim as much time as we can give them. But the greatest thing I can say about Pastor Ed is he's looked after me for almost 26 years. He gets a trophy for that in heaven. What you're smiling at, Chris? he'll tell you a little about this, but he's about to, next year, he will have been married for 40 years. He's been in ministry for 30, next year will be ministry for 30 years. And so I'm just still thinking for him. Can we stand on our feet? Can we honor my friend, my pastor, one of our overseers, Pastor Ed and Kim, to speak to us today? Come on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Hope Church. Go ahead and have a seat. If you love the Lord Jesus, say amen. If you love your pastor, say amen. You make sure you give them a big hug today after church and tell them thank you for their investment in your lives. We're so proud of Pastors Wesley and Holy Reverend Mother Diana. She told me she prefers that name, so I'm gonna defer that to her. But we're really privileged to be here with you today. We love Hope Church. Last time I was here, I came when your pastors were on sabbatical, and I spoke one Sunday, and Pastor Wesley said, you have one job today, or two jobs today. Don't go long, which amen to that, right? We can't do that. But secondly, we need to raise money for camp. And me and Pastor Wesley's dad stood at the door looking at people like, come on, bro, on the way out, making sure everybody gave money towards camp. I think we're supposed to sit down on these things. Pray for this seat, okay? We're gonna test this for about $275 plus. So anyway, thank you for having us today. We love your church. We've been so blessed to be, I feel like, did you ever hear the story of the elephant that had a mouse on his back and he was walking across a suspension bridge? And the mouse was holding on those elephant's ears for dear life, and that bridge was swinging back and forth. And when they got on the other side of the bridge, the mouse just let out a big sigh of relief and said, "Woo! Man, we really shook that bridge, didn't we?" And you have to think about that for a second. It is kind of funny. But we've just had a little tiny, tiny, tiny part. But more than that, just a relationship equity that we share with your pastors. And we love them so much ever since they were kids, which just means nothing more, nothing less than we're old, everything the pastor told you earlier. So joining me on the stage for the first time at Hope Church is my sweet wife, Kim. We've been married for 40 years, as well as, or 39 years. Next year is our big 40th wedding anniversary, and we're looking forward to that. But Kim, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Yes, thank you so much. I don't know if I'm on. Here, try that one.
Let me turn you on. I don't wanna. Not in church. Too much. That's too much.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We're talking about marriage, but we're not going to go there.
Right.
So thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Like Ed said, this is the first time I've gotten to speak to you guys. But Ed and I have spoke all over the place on marriage, and that's what we get to talk about today. But like Ed said, we've been married for 39 years, and we have four grown daughters. They're all in the ministry. Christina, Katie, Kelsey, and Emily, as some of you know, who got to serve here for 2 years.
Let me tell you a picture. Let me tell you a story about this picture. If you see Ryan on the far left, right, he's wearing a baseball hat. There's a reason Ryan's wearing a baseball hat. How many of you know Ryan and Emily? Raise your hand up in the air. We're so blessed to have. Our church is blessed because they brought a lot of hope energy to our church. And our church is blessed and growing because of that. It really is. But we had a family picture taken. Ryan, about 2 weeks earlier, decided he would have a big campaign for the students and told the students that if they had 50 kids on this big night they were doing, that he would dye his hair blonde. They had 60-some kids. It was awesome. And Kim made Ryan wear a hat for the picture because it looked ridiculous. So
That's why you see him wearing a hat there. But that's our little Rudy right there, holding right there, sitting with them. Just beautiful, beautiful girls and amazing kids.
Yes. Yeah. So our children have given us 8 grandchildren, Rudy, of which is 1.
Perfect grandkids.
And, yeah. Well, they can be, and they can't be. So you know how that goes. Yes, they it thinks they're perfect, but they're not perfect. but neither are Ed and I, of course. We've had to navigate through so many different levels of relationship since we've gotten married, between our parents and our siblings, our friends, our peers, our coworkers, our employees, your employers, and the easiest relationship of all, which is church members and church staff.
Amen, right? Church staff are super, super easy relationships. Of course, church members are all perfect, amen? Yeah. You guys never make your pastor upset about anything because you're amazing, amen? Hope Church, give yourselves a hand. Yeah. You guys rock. The first church that Kim and I pastored was in Jacksonville, and your pastors worked for us, and it was such a joy. It was really almost a dream come true when they came to work for us because we'd known them since they were just young teenagers. And they got to witness our first year of a broken church's revolving door of church members and staff. I think that first year I had to gently let go of about 60 people. Our church grew when they were there from about 100 people to about 600 people, which was great. But in the process, we started with 100, and out of that 100, we lost about 75 of those in the process. So it's just what we want to talk to you today about is this relationship understanding that relationships are pretty difficult, right? They're all very, very complicated. Two couples I was counseling this week. It was a 65-year-old mother and father, friends of ours, and their 2 kids who were in their 40s. And I asked, what are we meeting about? What's going on? He just put his head down. He said, Pastor, it's complicated. I said, well, ministry is in the business of taking care of complication. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do. But relationships can be complicated. Sit next, somebody you're next to, tell them this morning, you're a little bit complicated. Just tell them that. Isn't that a song? Why does everything have to be so complicated, right? It's just the truth, right? So when we acknowledge this complication, there are some things we have to understand to go along with that.
So the first relationship, I love how the Bible has all kinds of different relationships, but the first one, the first relationship that is introduced in the Bible is the marriage relationship. And what did God say about creation after he created Adam and Eve?
God said, it's all good. Something like that.
Something like that, yes. He said at the moment that creation was good or was complete. But can I ask you a question today? How are your relationships? How is your marriage relationship? How is your couple relationship? Is it good? Would you say your life is filled with healthy or with healthy relationships, or do you have dysfunction relationships that you're working through?
So let me ask you a question. How many of you have awesome, healthy relationships in your life? Raise your hand up in the air. Mm-hmm. I have some awesome. Come on, let me put them up. Let me see. Okay. All right. How many of you have a couple complicated relationships in your life? Right? All of us do. You know, our 4 daughters, we have 4 son-in-laws. You know one of them. It's complicated, you know? We have different people in our lives. Church members are complicated. Yeah. Marriage relationship can be complicated sometimes, you know? Because we're built differently, we think differently, we act differently, thank God. But at the same time, navigating through that can be very, very different. So we're going to talk to married couples today. We're going to talk to couples that are thinking about getting married. If you're thinking about getting married, we don't want to talk you out of getting married, okay? That's not our goal at all. But as a couple, I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you faithful to the Lord together? Are you faithful to one another? Are you on the same page? Now listen to this. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And of course, when I say physically, we're talking about married couples only. Somebody give their husband or wife a high five, okay? But is there honor and respect in that marriage relationship? Now, in your family, work, and life relationships this morning, is there mutual respect? Is there honor? Is there love in those relationships? Is there care? Because we're going to try to pick these things apart this morning and find some healthy signs in these relationships.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, Ed and I both went to the doctor, and
Different doctors.
Because it was a time for your yearly physical, so we both went to the doctor. I don't really like going to the doctor, not at all. I don't know who likes going to the doctor, but
doctors, we love you. We need you. Well, we're sorry.
Yeah. we went to the doctor for a physical. And the first thing the doctor did, he checked my vital signs. He checks my temperature, my pulse rate, respiration, my blood pressure, and then, you know, the weight.
How many of you have a love-hate relationship with your scale? Raise your hand up in the air. How many of you think your scale is indwelt by Satan and lies to you when you step on it every once in a while? When I go to the doctor's office, the nurse kind of knows me because I've been there for a few years, and I have this little thing. I always wear like sugar shorts, you know, like basketball shorts, if you will, flip-flops, right? And I'll have my cell phone in my wallet. I'll have a baseball hat on, and I went in February, so it was a little cold out, so I had a jacket. So when I walked up to the scale, I'm starting to take everything off except my shorts, of course, everything out of my pocket. And the nurse says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Listen, I'm not giving that sucker more evidence than he needs, okay?" Because I hate, and I get on that thing, and I'm like, "Please, please, please." And you know what it is, right? You know what it is, but I just have this thing with a scale. I hate that scale most of the times. Anybody agree with me?
I do the opposite. I keep my bag on me. I put my phone in my pocket. I wear boots. I wear heavy clothes. So when I get home, my scale says, "You're doing good. Yeah, look at the,"
right.
You know.
That's right.
I like that. But so these were all determining factors in how healthy we are. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, keep one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." And 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So we want to share with you some vital signs to look for in a healthy relationship and healthy marriages. So the first thing is open and honest communication. How would you say that we are in this?
I think as a married couple, I mean, you know, 39 years, you know, we're honored by your kind words, Pastor Wes. I mean, it really is a wonderful time in our life. We're done raising kids. We have grandkids. We were empty nesters for about a year, and it was the greatest time of my life. And then we had another daughter. If you have adult kids, they just keep coming back. You know what I'm saying? We have another daughter with three kids that moved into our three-bedroom, 1,800-square-foot house with us. And there's not an inch of that house that's ever quiet, you know? So it's a challenge. So, like, you know, it's just a period of periods of life that we all go through challenges. But I think by my nature, I'm a little bit of an oversharer. I'm not afraid to express. We really have almost a relationship where there's a little bit of role reversal, where I'm the nice, kind. When my girls cry, they come to Dad. You know, when they're going through stuff, Kim kind of like, "Suck it up, sister." You know, when they were all going through that thing that happens when you're like 11 to 13 years old, the fun time with four girls, okay? I'm like, "Come here, honey, I got you, I understand. Like, "Duh." And Kim's like, "Listen, you're going to have that for the rest of your life. No excuses, you're going to school today, you know? And I'm the coddler, "Come here, honey, I got you. And listen, but somehow guys get blamed for that. Listen, if you're mad about that, talk to Eve when you get to heaven. Anyway. But I'm an oversharer. Like, I'll talk about, there's nothing that I wouldn't talk about with just about anybody.
Which you'll probably see today.
Yeah, you'll probably see some of that today. But, you know, when we talked to some couples in our church, we talked to, we were doing a Marriage Matters thing, and we were talking to older couples and encouraging them to be mentors to younger couples. So I asked them, "What are some big challenges that you have experienced in your marriages that we need to pour into younger couples with?" And it was, you know, it's nothing as a surprise. They said, "You got to talk about sex." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And then we said, "You need to talk about money. You need to talk about communication." Those were really primarily the three different things that it seems like couples struggle with. But really, I think it all is embedded in, and it goes back to communication. And that communication thing isn't just about marriage relationships, right? It's about all of our relationships, having open, honest communication.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. You do overshare. I love that sometimes that it pushes me beyond my comfortability. Let me just give you a hint.
Did you say comfortability?
Is that a word?
No.
No.
My comfort level. Is comfortability a word?
I don't know. It is to me.
We'll get an English teacher after service and ask him, okay?
So if you have trouble communicating, like how many of you are the communicator in the family? Like you can share everything. And then there's somebody who's not the communicator, okay? That would be me. So what Ed likes to do is he likes to trap me in the car on long drives, and then he brings up topics.
Hey. Electric lock, mm-mm. You know, she can't go anywhere. Electric windows, yeah. Can't shut the window, mm-mm. Can't open the window. Mm-mm.
But this is not exclusive to married couples only. I'll tell you right now, the younger people that are in here and that you're not married or not in a relationship, if you can master communication now, your life will be so much easier. But communication is important in every relationship you have. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. We need to be open, respectful. We need to build each other up when we talk. We ought to be each other's biggest supporters. But you know, sometimes in life, the more comfortable you get with people, the worse that it gets. And you become not a supporter, and it's really easy to be the opposite of that. Sometimes open, respectful communication is so much harder with married couples than it is at work or than it is even with our friends.
Yeah, we've had people say, and I've observed this in people too, that my husband doesn't hardly talk to me, but his reputation at work is he's a chatty patty, you know? And the same thing about ladies too, you know? And there's reason, I mean, there's good reasons for that, but there's also excuses as well. So let me ask you this question. How would you rate your communication with the relationships that you have in your life? And here, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is your communication open? Is it healthy? You ready for this? Does your communication build you up, Buttercup, right? Are your words, like that passage in Ephesians 4:29 says, are they building others up for their benefit, right? Or because you know this, how many of you know somebody that walks into a room and as soon as they start talking, it's like the whole countenance of the room just shifts down and it's just like this yucky stuff, right? But there's also people that you and I both know that when they walk into a room, they light it up,
yeah. You
know? And you're like, man, I love that person in our dynamic because they're positive. They bring energy to, and don't you like to be around those kind of people? You know, want to fill your relationship quiver up with lots and lots of positive people. But here's my question: I'm going to ask you, are you the negative Nelly, or are you the positive Pete? Right? Are you the person that's walking in that's taking all the air out of the room, or are you the person when they come in, people are like, oh. It's like Mary Tyler Moore, you can turn the world on with your smile. Like, are you that kind of person? That's old, old school right there, by the way, okay? Old, old school. But all my gray hairs are loving this right now, okay? But are you that guy or gal that's bringing it, or are you sucking it out of the room, okay? So are your words positive and life-giving? Do they lean towards the negative? And here's the thing, you know what brings negativity into the room? Gossip. Gossip is not open, positive communication. Nope. But there's two guilty parties in a gossip fest. There's the one that's speaking all the junky stuff and the one with the appetite to hear it.
Hey, don't you love those people that say, oh, I have a prayer request for you. But honestly, it's just a way for them to spread some gossip.
God love their heart, but, you know, and things like that. So the first vital sign in healthy relationships is open, honest communication. Here's the second one, and I love this. Because this is great for marriage, but it's also great for all of our relationships, is there uncomfortable accountability. Uncomfortable accountability. Accountability isn't just making each other feel good. Oh, you're great. Love your outfit. Love your shoes. Diana, pastress Diana, wearing some Doc Martens today, by the way. Rocking the Doc Martens. Love Doc Martens. But is your communication, are you able to invest in people where there's the accountability is open and honest? Can you answer for each other hard questions? Do you care enough about people in your life where you can confront them with love, right? Hey, listen, I heard that. Can we have an honest communication with one another where I heard something, I hope it's not true, but if it is, listen now, I want to walk with you through this and help you out of this. Accountability should be uncomfortable. It's not supposed to be like making each other feel good all the time. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens each other. Men, we understand that accountability and the need for male accountability, right? We need accountability with the way that we're leading our families. We need accountability with our the way that we're leading in our business world. We need accountability in our personal life with our computers and things like that. But here's the thing, guys, if you're married, that accountability, first of all, needs to be with your wife.
Yeah.
Guys, does your wife have all of your passwords? If she were to pick up your phone today, would you be uncomfortable? Listen, vice versa. It's not just guys that struggle with that stuff, okay? But are we comfortable enough with one another, where we trust with one another, or do we still have these little areas in our life that we hide from one another?
Yeah, and accountability goes both ways, just like he said. Women do, you know, on our devices, it's not just men who struggle on their social media and on their text. Not only do they get tempted, but women get tempted also.
The temptation's funny because Satan walks around this world like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We understand that. He has tactics. He knows how to get us. Here's what happens. When we have aught with one another, when I'm being stupid, come on, I'm not an idiot, but when we have aught with one another, because of whatever, just life, okay? Life, kids, grandkids, finances, health, everything can cause whatever. That's when, like if I'm not being nice to her, that's when maybe somebody from her high school will say, Kim, boy, you really look great. Hope you're doing good. Your family is beautiful. You still look like you were in high school from another guy, right? That's what Satan does. He hits you where you're weakest, but he hits you when you're vulnerable. He doesn't go after the big fat bull that's in the middle of the thing with 35 other bulls around him. He goes after the bull that's limping.
Yeah.
That's hurting and tries to take them down when they're already halfway down.
Yeah.
So, uncomfortable accountability goes both ways.
Yes. It means that we can talk about anything safely with our accountability partner, with social media, with our phone stuff, with our finances, with our time. Do you know that your time is not your own anymore? There's something in marriage that you can just check off right now. When you get married, you can never say, that's none of your business. Because your business is each other's business.
Come on. Somebody say amen to that, right? Some wife, give your husband a little gig in the ribs on that one, okay?
Yes.
It's important, right, that we have this accountability with one another. It is uncomfortable, but it can be, and it should be very, very healthy. So let's go to the third one.
Yeah, so the third thing is mutual respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another and showing honor. Married couples, do you value each other's dreams and their goals, and are you building them together? Yes. And single friends, are you supportive and respective of your friends' dreams and their goals? Are you the one that judges them and you're the jury and the executioner and what they think that they should be doing or dreams that they might have? Christians have a strange reputation of talking about what we are against and not what we are for.
Somebody say amen to that. Christians have a reputation of talking about things they're against more than talking about who we're for. That's
yes.
just a good word.
Yeah, yeah. We need to honor one another. We need to speak into one another, respect each other at home, but especially in public.
The way that we say things to one another, too, is a big deal. Yeah. It speaks volumes into this understanding of mutual respect. It's a specific vital sign that we need to acknowledge and grow through. And make sure that we're talking to each other. Listen, it's not wrong to disagree. It's not wrong to be mad at one another. It is wrong to communicate to one another in a way that dishonors God and dishonors one another.
Yeah. And do you find yourself asking more for forgiveness or permission? Yeah. Married couples, do you make financial decisions together? Do you make professional decisions together? Do you know each other's business and what's going on in their lives? Is there mutual respect in your relationship? And single friends, are you a supportive system or a critic to your family and your friends?
So yeah. And this is important. This is really good. So we're gonna move on to the next issue. We don't want to go too long this morning. We know we have another service we need to be ready for. This is an area that Kim is extremely passionate about. She really wants to make sure we spend time talking about this. Mm. And it's intentional intimacy. So why don't you read this passage of scripture? Because listen, this passage of scripture is not just for people that are married. This is for everybody that's in this room. Mm-hmm. So listen to these words from from the Holy Scripture.
1 Corinthians 7:1-5 says, "Now for matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband."
Amen. Amen.
"The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband."
Amen.
he loves this verse. "The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband in the same way the wife to his..." He's messing me all up. "Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so you may devote yourself to prayer and then come together again so Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Go ahead, Ed. You're waiting for this part. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. This is like another worship song right here, this passage here. But let me just say some things about this. And I don't want to belabor this point. But this passage talks about sex, right? And here's the thing. This is not an opinion piece. This is God's holy, inspired, preserved word for everybody that's in this room this morning. Here's a couple things we understand about sex. God created sex for us to enjoy. Somebody say amen. And it's not exclusively for procreation. That's important for us to understand. Number two, we should only have sex when we're married and with the person that we're married to. That's what God's word says. And man, this is one of those things where like, oh, you know, we got to talk to our kids about sex. Listen, don't give them your opinion. You are covered by sharing authority that comes with God's word. Well, things are different today. Yeah, things are different today. Things are crazy today. But we've changed, but God's word hasn't changed. Number three, the husband and wife have a duty to one another to care for this marriage need that we both have for one another. I am responsible to make sure she is happy in this area. And the same goes back forth to her with me, right? Number five, if you're withholding, it should only happen by mutual respect. And the last thing is single friends and married couples. This is the biggest part of this whole passage that we skip over sometimes. Our bodies do not belong to ourselves. They belong to the Lord. This is God's instrument, and it's supposed to be an instrument of righteousness. And when we go against his plan for our lives, we're going to miss blessings. This is such a critical area for married people, because here's the thing. You guys do this and I do this. We watch a Netflix show and we'll cheer for 2 18-year-olds to get together and hook up. And then in the very same show, when 2 60-year-olds walk into a room with that look, we all get geeked out and grossed out by that.
And this is an area where you should be getting better as you get older.
We should have an invitation right now. I'm going to leave all personal comments out of that right now, okay? So go ahead, you go to the next one.
Okay. You'd be thankful because he just skipped a whole lot of stuff, you know? Okay, so here we go. Our vital signs of life in our marriage are open communication, inconvenient accountability, mutual respect, intentional intimacy, and lastly, center your marriage on all relationships in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:12 says,
Ecclesiastes.
Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves in a cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
Listen, you know, the numbers don't mean that we've perfected relationships. The years that we've been in ministry doesn't mean that we've perfected relationships. Anybody that has the number of years that we have, and there's people in here that have more, have learned from a lot of mistakes. I tell my kids this all the time. My posture of leadership in your life has more to do with, I don't want you to do the things that I messed up on. Learn from my mistakes. You know, learn from my shortcomings. It's not Mr. Expert that's been perfect for 39 years. We've been blessed. We have a great, great marriage. We enjoy being with one another. She's my best friend and my lover. We're very, very fortunate. I want to tell you something. It's not this thing that we like fell into. It's an intentional work that we've committed to one another every single day. And some days are harder than other days. But even with our kids' relationships, right? We work hard to be good parents for our kids. Our church members, we work hard to be good pastors for our church. the friends that we have. We work hard to be good friends for our friends because God didn't create us to do this thing in life to be alone. We cannot be on an island by ourselves and think it's all going to work out. Yeah. We need relationships. But here's the thing, church, we need healthy relationships. Yeah. So two things and we'll pray, okay? Seek healthy relationships, which you're doing this morning by being in church. Give yourselves a hand for that. You're here to hear from the Lord, not from us, okay? Seek healthy relationships. Now, here's the most important part. Be healthy for the relationships that you have for others. Yeah. You be healthy, okay? You be that somebody that lifts people up. You be that somebody that has grace and kindness and Jesus just flowing through you that'll bring along that person, sharpen them. You bring that person to Jesus. You pray with that person. You walk that person, walk through difficult times in life with that person. Relationships are so important. We're blessed because we have these two as significant relationships in our life. I love your pastor. I love Miss Diana so much. We can't do this stuff by ourselves. Even just a phone call and a word can be so valuable to one another. Be that for somebody this week.
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I honor you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastors Wes and Diana. Their calling, their commitment to one another, their commitment to their children, their commitment to Hope Church, their commitment to this community. Father, bless them. I pray that their church would be an encouragement to them, that they would stand behind them, that they would hold up their arms just like the priest and the guy did with Moses, like in the wilderness, so the battle could be won, Lord, so the battle would be won. Lord, help us to be healthy for relationships we have and help us to seek relationships of health in our lives as well. We love you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.